Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, October 12th. And we made it. It's Friday. Welcome to the weekend. And tonight we got the last preseason game at the home of the MSU Spartans. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of Locked On Pistons and a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Quick reminder about the Out of the Darkness Walk for Suicide Prevention and Awareness that the Dobek family has taken part in this Sunday in honor of Matt Dobek, the former Pistons PR guru who sadly took his own life in 2010. You can check out the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed and also the Locked On Pistons Dash Matt Shook Facebook page. I've been passing along links to help raise money for the Dobek family in support of a great cause. Check that out on social media. And also, welcome to the show. Spread the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. That's all we ask for you. It's a free podcast. I'm trying to make a couple bucks on the show now, so help me out and throw it up on your Facebook wall. Put a link on it and say, hey, I've been listening to the daily Detroit Pistons podcast from this guy, Matt, who's the coolest dude on the planet. He works hard at it. And if you want to get into the NBA and the Pistons this year, give it a shot. And there, bam, you've done your part. All set there. So thanks for making us part of your daily routine and all that you guys do to help spread the word of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, I have a complaint, and it's a redo of a complaint that I made in the summer, but I'm going to share it with you guys again. Stems from my experience with being at the game on Wednesday night for the preseason game at Little Caesars Arena. We're also going to talk to Matt Peck, good friend of mine from Locked On Bulls, the fourth of the five interviews that we're doing with the Locked On hosts from the other Central Division teams as we prepare for the season. I didn't want to bog us down with doing all Eastern Conference teams or all the NBA teams, God forbid. And we'll just talk to the Central Division teams. The teams will play four games this season each with the Detroit Pistons on the 82-82 game schedule, and teams that we have a little bit more of a rooting interest in rooting against or following, as they are the Midwest teams with some of our brethren cities here in the Rust Belt. But by the way, the Pistons will close out the preseason tonight, as you know, at Michigan State University against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The game will be on Fox Sports Detroit, a home game for the Cleveland Cavaliers, as Dan Gilbert, the alum of Michigan State and the king of Detroit, he has put up the money for this game to happen at Michigan State, his alma mater. And they've got like a Cavs fan zone out there, which is kind of interesting because I would imagine, you know, most of the fans by far will be fans of the Detroit Pistons in the state of Michigan. So it should be an interesting atmosphere out there in East Lansing. But Michigan State students and faculty and all that good stuff, mid-Michigan residents who are going to the game, send me the pictures on Twitter or also on Facebook. And I want to hear your thoughts about how that goes at the Breslin Center as well. Tickets still available at the MSU Athletics box office as well. I passed along a retweet. I don't have it in front of me right now, but Matt Charbonneau of Detroit News had some information on that. You can find that retweeted on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account as well, at Locked On Pistons being the handle for that Twitter account. Very clever, I know. But if your company is looking to reach customers in a new way, then you should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons. You can be mentioned on the air right now from your boy Matt Shook. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite podcast. There's a loyalty there. And I know you listeners know that, as you have extreme loyalty to the Locked On Pistons podcast. And I appreciate that. Our demographic is 98% males and have more education and earning more earning power, easy for me to see, than the traditional media audiences. But you guys know that. You live that every single day. So have your company go ahead and sponsor this podcast. If you're interested or know someone who might be interested in sponsoring Locked On Pistons, helping out your boy Matt here, email me at Matt_Shook, and that's S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Now, as you know from listening to the show on Thursday, and I took the time to brag about it then, I went to the Pistons preseason game against Washington on Wednesday night. That's not really the brag-worthy part. Anybody can get those preseason tickets, but I did sit courtside, courtesy of listener Sean, and we appreciate that. Again, took my brother and my niece and also another member of our family, Mallory, joining Iris and Scott and I for the big game, the last of the preseason games at Little Caesars Arena before the preseason finale tonight against Cleveland. But I do want to complain about a new policy at Little Caesars Arena for the Pistons and the Red Wings, and it's one that's around the country, so I guess this is more of a national complaint. Announced locally this offseason in July that you cannot, it's no longer paper tickets. You have to have the mobile tickets on your phone and you have to bring those to the games. Now, you can still go to Will Call and get those paper tickets. So it's not for sure a blanket policy. It's not like we're going to leave grandma outside and not let her go to the games, or my dad in some cases as well. But it's just not, to me, it's not quite the time for such a blanket policy. And I know that they're trying to steer fans away. And there is a benefit for fans, obviously, with the counterfeit tickets out there, especially on the secondary market. And there's, you always hear the stories of someone buying the Super Bowl tickets, the paper tickets, and realizing when they get to the door that they're fakes and being out, you know, tens of thousands of dollars or whatever it is. But to me, I don't think we're quite, and when I say we, I don't think we're quite ready. I'm probably talking more about me and people who are a little bit older than me or have the old soul when it comes to technology like I do. I just think there's too many variables out there. Like I said, my buddy Sean sent the tickets along to me via text, and all I had to do from there, pretty easy process during the day when you're not in a hurry. You can just click on the link and go to your Ticketmaster account, your free login that you can make, and claim the tickets, and then they go into your wallet, for lack of a better term, as far as your Ticketmaster account. And I have a Ticketmaster account already. You guys know from listening to the show that I'm a Bruce Springsteen guy, so I've been to the Ticketmaster to get the tickets before. But my phone is just, and again, I could go all night long on this too, but my phone's starting to struggle. I'm at the 2+ year mark, so it's time to go to the AT&T store and get the newest iPhone out there. It's just that time. But I'm trying to, you know, like when you get that car payment, you buy the new car, you do the payments for 2 years or 3 years, whatever it is. And then you try to ride out that no payment period where you don't want to get the new car quite yet because you want to ride out that year or so of maybe being payment free, the best part of the world. So I'm trying to get to that point. For some reason, I went on like a 2.5 year plan on my last phone. So I'm trying to get to that 2.5 year mark, but and just do so much work on the phone with a lot of the interviews we get for the show, the pictures, and all that stuff, you know, that a working journalist and a guy in his 30s personally and whatever will do on his phone. So, you know, it's just the point where they make these things that can last, you know, about a year and a half. So when it's time to start thinking about getting a new phone, it's going on the fritz anyway. And I kind of have some conspiracy theories that the Apple folks are messing with the phones when you get to that point, just to go and get it. And I don't know if I completely believe that conspiracy theory. Maybe some of you guys can back me up on that, that no matter what, your phone's going to still start getting about haywire about a year and a half in. But again, and I know I sound like the oldest man on the planet. If you're a regular listener to the show, you're probably not surprised about this. But the other thing is, not in addition to your phone kind of being on the fritz, not only that, but you're going to, in theory, and I know that hasn't been the case at Little Caesars Arena so far after 1 year, but you're going to an area where there's going to be a lot of people. So obviously the cell service isn't going to be very good. I know from being at the Boss concerts and other concerts that I go to, you're trying to send the text, or you're trying to upload the video from the floor seats that you have of Thunder Road or whatever it is that you want to put up on Facebook or Instagram or whatever social media app that you're using or what the kids are using these days. But it takes forever because you can't get good connection inside when you're around all those people who are trying to either hook onto the Wi-Fi or just get into the network there. So that presents its own problem. You get to Little Caesars Arena, there's all sorts of people at the Chevrolet Plaza, or there are all sorts of people in theory someday at Pistons or Red Wings games, and it's just tough to get that cell signal. So when you're trying to pull up those tickets, trying to use the internet to log onto your Ticketmaster account, it's going to be a problem. And you got a line of people waiting to scan their tickets as you go too. Another thing, what about if you got a group of people? My mom brought this up. I was having a conversation with her about this tonight. She said, what if they go with the church and they bought 25 tickets and they want to just hand them out? And you can't do that. Everyone's got to make a Ticketmaster account. Whoever got the group tickets available has to distribute them to all the people in the group. It's just another hassle right there. Transferring seats. You got to get that Ticketmaster login. Well, you know, we all have enough IDs and passwords in our lives that if you don't need to get the Ticketmaster login, you don't really have to have that happen. And it's just, and there's also the biggest problem logistically for us on Wednesday night, and it didn't really impact us much, you know, the parking was on that app as well, so it all kind of fit in fine. But the worst part was we had access to the Motor City Club lounge as well. This is the Motor City Casino Club Lounge, and That was a little bit of a humble brag, by the way. I just had to throw that in there with the free food and the free drinks in there. We all had a good time at halftime bleeding into the third quarter as well. But the problem was that we had four tickets that were obviously our passes to get into that club as well. And my brother's got him on his phone because his phone isn't as screwed up as mine is at this point. So I made him do that because that's just the kind of guy I am. So Scott's standing there with the security guard with the QR codes on each of the tickets. And the security gentleman has to scan each QR code. So each time there's seat one, scanned it. He has to swipe over for seat two, scan that. And of course, when you're doing this and you're in kind of a basement-y type of area, the reception's not great. So it takes another 5, 10, 15, maybe even 20 seconds for that next QR code to come up. And you got to do that four times. Now, there's a quick fix in there if maybe you can possibly throw all four tickets into the same QR code for situations like that. And obviously the 8- and 9-year-old girl don't have the smartphones or anything like that where they can just swipe their own. So again, and this wasn't a problem. This is preseason game number 2. It wasn't like there was a long line to get into the Motor City Casino Club, but this is halftime. You want to get up the stairs. You want to get in there as quick as possible. You want to throw down 2, 3, 7 beers, whatever it is that you take down at halftime for the free booze there. And then you want to get back to your courtside seat. You know, in theory, someone spent a lot of money for these, and it's you want to be quick about all these things. You don't want to be standing in line waiting for some dude to swipe all of his QR codes and get those all taken care of. So that's my beef on it. I've complained about it before, and I wonder if they're going to get a lot of complaints. I predict that they will, and I predict that they'll eventually go back to having more paper tickets be available very, very shortly into the season, and then you'll have kind of a repeat of what we're going through here with these red seats turned black, a little bit of a black eye there for a new arena that has to change things up on the fly very quickly. But the old folks out there, like my dad, who don't have the smartphone, and folks like myself who are a little bit older souls and a little bit baffled by some of these things in this modern world. I sound like an unfrozen caveman lawyer there. But you can still make arrangements with the Pistons to get your tickets taken care of if you absolutely cannot make it happen with the app and the smartphone there. So you can call the Xfinity box office. I want to give out the number here for our older listeners, 313-471-7929. The number is good for Pistons and Red Wings questions, queries about what to do if you can't figure out those tickets. Again, the Xfinity box office, 313-471-7929. But up next, we're going to be talking to my buddy Matt Peck of Locked on Bulls after this. But first, you know, we've got all the NBA previews this week at Locked on NBA. Mine dropped on Thursday, where I spent a few minutes talking about your Detroit Pistons. 6 teams per day, 5 days in the week. All 30 teams previewed by the local experts on the Locked on NBA podcast. Follow Locked on NBA on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or tell your favorite smart speaker to play podcast Locked on NBA.
Yes!
All right, and now we're being joined by Matt Peck, one of the hosts of the Locked on Bulls podcast, my good friend from Chicago. Matt, thanks for joining us, and hey, happy, I guess, eve almost of basketball season, as we're less than a week away now.
Yeah, what's up, Shook? Good to talk to you, buddy. I'm ready for it. There's nothing better than basketball season getting underway, and one more preseason game for the Bulls, and then we get to see what this young core can actually do. I'm sure you're excited, too, to see what the new-look Pistons can do with Blake Griffin in town.
Yeah, most days I'm so excited, but some days there are times when I'm looking at it and thinking, man, that's a long basketball season, and we will see how this goes. But in addition to getting ready for the Bulls, you guys in Chicago are also keeping an eye on the Jimmy Butler situation, a bizarre 24 hours, and what was already a pretty bizarre story to start with up in Minnesota there. What do you guys think? What's the Locked on Bulls reaction and the Chicago fan reaction to what's going on with Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau?
Yeah, I mean, basically, Jordan and I have the feeling that I think a lot of Bulls fans have, which is that we're just relieved that we can watch this unfold as innocent bystanders. Like, regardless of whether or not you were on board with the Jimmy trade in the summer of 2017, and I certainly was, now it's kind of hard to say that you still think it was a mistake to trade Jimmy. Between the gross thought of signing a player exiting his prime, with a lot of minutes on his legs, to a contract, you know, north of $200 million with that designated, the DPE contract that Jimmy qualified for. And now all of this prima donna diva stuff that's continued to unfold about Jimmy not getting along with his coach in Chicago, and then Jimmy not getting along with his old coach in Minnesota and not getting along with his young teammates in Minnesota, just like he didn't get along with his young teammates here in Chicago. Like, it's fun to watch as someone who doesn't need to worry about it being their problem anymore. I mean, I feel bad for Wolves fans because it's just an ugly scenario across the board, and you kind of just hope that it gets resolved quickly, especially after the media circus that Jimmy put on display yesterday. It's not going to end well, and you got to assume that they're going to try and trade him as soon as possible now. But Tibbs is stubborn and Jimmy is stubborn. You know, Bulls fans know that all too well about both of those guys. So I'm glad we don't have to deal with it, honestly.
Yeah, and going closer to home here, you got the homecoming for Jabari Parker and probably some good feelings, I would imagine, a little bit during the summer, at least in some corners of the fan bases with him coming home. But as we talked about off mic here, Matt, not exactly going so well even before the season gets started.
Yeah, I mean, I was against the Jabari signing from day one. I just didn't see it as making sense, considering that the Bulls' best pieces for the future, Markkanen, the rookie Wendell, even Bobby Portis as a sixth man, all play those front court positions that Jabari plays. And people were saying, well, let's give Jabari a chance at the three. Gar Foreman thinks he can fit. We're going to try and maybe finagle him more minutes at the three. He played some three in Milwaukee, but look at the numbers. When Jabari played minutes at the three in Milwaukee, it did not go well. Most of his effective offensive minutes in the first few seasons of his career in Milwaukee were being played at the four. So I just was not on board with this from day one. And guess what? Through the Markkanen injury, they shifted Jabari to the four for the first few preseason games and kept Bobby Portis on the bench. Jabari did not look good. He still looks slow. He looks a little out of shape. He wasn't shooting the ball well. He was shooting a lot of bad contested long twos and was kind of dragging down the Fred Hoiberg pace and space offense that Fred wants to get going early in games, and the Bulls were getting off to slow starts. So what does Fred do? He acts upon that. And last night in our preseason game against the Pacers, he sat Jabari and inserted Bobby Portis and Wendell into the starting lineup for Jabari and Robin Lopez. And hey, look what happens. The Bulls put up 34 points in the first quarter and they look a lot better. They look a lot faster. Instead of trying to hide Jabari and LaVine defensively in that starting unit, you only have to hide LaVine. Bobby brought some defensive energy. Hoiberg said after the game, Bobby was really the vocal leader to set the tone defensively last night. So now the Bulls are staring at this ugly situation of they paid the hometown kid $20 million to come home on a prove it deal and be a starter and be the dominant scorer that we all thought he could be when he was originally drafted into this league. And coming off the bench last night, we've already heard he did not like that move. He was very unhappy about it. He left last night's preseason game declining to talk to the media. And it seems like there's kind of a sour attitude going around on today's practice floor as well. This is already an ugly situation for the front office, who really sold Jabari as being a good, easy fit. It doesn't look like it so far.
And you could see where maybe not in addition to Jabari coming in to help the offense, that's going to hurt the defense with his defensive deficiencies. Sorry, easy for me to say. But like you said, you got to kind of spread around LaVine and Parker, as both of those guys are strong minus defenders. And that, like you said, that kind of goes back to Fred Hoiberg and a decision he made last night and something that we'll keep an eye on throughout the season. Do you feel like with now Fred, this might be the first season where the heat is on? It's got a roster maybe that's more to his liking than some of the early days and Bulls in his tenure here. And now that they're projected to maybe go up a little bit on the win total and not be a total tank team like they were in years past. What's your status on where Fred's at in terms of the heat coming possibly this year?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Fred maybe being on a hot seat coming into this season because Paxson said after the conclusion of last year, we don't want another season like the one we just had, a.k.a. they didn't want to be a tanking team again this year. They wanted to be competitive and get back to the playoffs in a mediocre at best Eastern Conference. Now, I can understand that. Fred or John also said of Fred at Media Day a couple weeks ago, we're not going to be judging Fred's performance this year based on strictly wins and losses. We want to see player development. We want to see what he can do to make these young pieces work together and be competitive night in and night out. That being said, yes, they voiced their support for Fred and praised him for some of the work he did last year, including handling the Bobby Nico fight about as well as you can, and turning that team around after a 3-20 start. I would not be surprised to see Fred fall on his sword for this front office or more, I guess a better phrase would be to see the Bulls front office make Fred fall on his sword for them. Fred's going to be a scapegoat if this season doesn't go well. And to Fred's credit, he already in preseason recognizing that, yeah, Jabari at the three is really not a thing that's going to work. We need to find ways to play him into the four. Fred's holding his ground. And if Fred is going to be the scapegoat either way this season, because whatever the Bulls are trying to do doesn't work, I can respect. I'm not really impressed and sold on Fred being a great NBA coach, but so far I am respecting the fact that he's taken matters into his own hands, even in the preseason, to say, look, Jabari, I don't know if this is going to work. I certainly don't know if this is going to work as him being playing minutes at the three or even being in our starting lineup. So I'm going to play the guys that I think give me the best chance to win. And if it makes the front office look stupid because they signed this guy to a $20 million contract for no reason, so be it. And if it ends up with me being the scapegoat and I get canned, so be it. But, I mean, that's where Fred is right now. I think some Bulls fans are on the fence of whether or not they believe in him finishing this five-year deal as he comes into year four. But I'll earn a lot more respect for Fred if he basically just throws caution to the wind and says, I don't care what contract Jabari Parker's on. I'm going to play the guys that I want to play.
The talk of summer league was Wendell Carter out of Duke with the Chicago Bulls, the rookie. Has he continued that progression in preseason, and how excited are Bulls fans about a possible Rookie of the Year campaign for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think Rookie of the Year is probably a bit of a stretch because I don't think he's going to be that involved offensively in his first season, whereas some of the other guys, whether it's Marvin Bagley on a bad Sacramento team or Trae Young taking the reins in Atlanta or certainly Luka Doncic over there in Dallas, DeAndre Ayton in Phoenix. Like, I think there are a lot of guys more likely than Wendell to win Rookie of the Year, but I would not at all be surprised to see him win first team all rookie honors as a guy who comes in, does a lot of the dirty work. He's probably not going to average a double-double this season, but especially if he takes over this starting job and gets starters minutes from the get-go, as opposed to all summer long, we were kind of all assuming that the veteran incumbent Robin Lopez would at least get the honorary starters role. Or maybe he's not playing upwards of 30 minutes a night, but Robin would start with the first unit and start the second half with the first unit. Wendell got the start last night. It'll be interesting to see if Wendell starts again in our final preseason game tomorrow night. And then another decision that Fred has to make is, do we give the reins to the rookie right off the bat? Because, of course, Markkanen Wendell is the front court of the future that these Bulls are really high on. And he might not be the guy who's getting a lot of looks offensively, especially if he's in the starting unit with Zach LaVine, Jabari Parker, yes or no, certainly Chris Markkanen when he comes back. But as far as Wendell's potential and his NBA readiness, everyone in Chicago is really happy with what we've seen so far.
And we will see it. It won't take long for Pistons fans to get their first look. The Pistons are in Chicago as we tape this on Thursday afternoon, a week and 2 days from now, the second game of the season for the Pistons on a Saturday night at the United Center. And speaking of that Central Division rivalry as part of the five-team league, Matt Pekka of Locked On Bulls, we're going to put you on the spot here. Vegas says that Central Division, if you look at the win-loss totals, that the Central Division shakes down with Indiana slightly above Milwaukee by one game on the win-loss totals. A nice little gulf to third-place Detroit there, and another little gulf to fourth-place Cleveland, one game projected ahead of fifth-place Chicago. Do you shake those results up for any reason?
I don't think so. I mean, I think Indiana and Milwaukee will be close. I don't think either team got significantly better than their rosters from last season. It'll be interesting to see if Oladipo can match or improve upon his breakout year from last year. What will the Greek Freak do in Milwaukee as they're trying to figure out a way to keep him there? Will they put enough talent around him? Will they win enough games for them to be able to convince him to stay? But clearly those are going to be the top two teams in the Central Division. I might flip Cleveland and Detroit there, and I'm sorry if that upsets some of your listeners. I don't think Cleveland's going to be that bad. I'm really curious to see what Kevin Love as a focal point will be, because we haven't seen Kevin Love as the go-to number one scoring option since he joined up with LeBron. And I still think Kevin Love has some good NBA seasons in him. And I think that Colin Sexton is a very exciting young prospect that they added in the draft. And I just really don't know how Detroit's going to shake out. I mean, they might be the team that I'm most curious about, and I have no clue how good or bad your Pistons might be. But I'd say that the one thing I am confident about is that the Bulls are going to be at the bottom of that division.
Well, there it is. So we got you with Indiana, then Milwaukee at the top two. Is that right?
Yeah, I'll stick with that.
Indiana, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago from Matt Peck. And we will mark that down and we'll put together the Central Division power rankings, I guess, as they were when we get Milwaukee's vote here early next week. But Matt, anything else going on in Chicago? Or I know we can get you at Twitter at @Bulls_Peck as well. Anything else that the Locked On Pistons listeners might want to hear about?
Well, if you are sort of a Detroit and Chicago person, if you're maybe a dual fan, we just started up an Instagram account for Locked On Bulls. So if you want to give us a follow at Locked On Bulls on Insta, that's what the kids are doing these days, right, Chuck? I mean, I'm too old for this stuff. My younger co-host Jordan started the Instagram account for us. He was like, "We need an Instagram account." I was like, "All right, buddy, whatever you say, I'll let you handle that."
Jordan and Matt of the Locked On Bulls podcast, they do a great job, and not just when they're playing the Pistons around that time, but you guys want to check those out every day as well to get familiar with the Central Division rivals and all sorts of nice, spicy drama to talk about, especially with the Jimmy Butler stuff these past couple days. But Matt, thanks for your time today.
Anytime. Hey, Shook, while I have you real quick, what do you think about the NFC North so far?
Oh, wow. How about those Chicago Bears, huh? I've got a picks league where I've got the Bears as one of my eight teams. So every week I am rooting for them. And fortunately, the Detroit Lions don't look like a team where we have to be too worried about division championships or anything like that. But I guess all the teams have a flaw right now. So the Lions are into a bye this week at 2-3 after somehow beating Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, but losing the other three games on their schedule. Just an upside down season so far, but I don't think there's a whole lot of Lions fans that are too excited about winning the NFC North division. So not a lot of animosity coming
you
from
guys. You guys now have a lot of second tier Lions fans in Chicago right now, because we really appreciate y'all knocking off the Packers. That was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. And we will see how the two games with the Bears are coming up. Maybe we'll have you on before one of those.
Absolutely. We'd love to.
And thanks again to Matt Peck of Locked On Bulls for joining us here on the podcast. We've got one more Central Division preview to get done, and we'll be talking to the Locked On Bucks folks from the Milwaukee Bucks coming up early next week. I'll have those coming up. I'll also have my predictions for the playoffs and on paper as well. I also owe you a Wings preview, not Red Wings, but the Pistons Wings, as we'll talk about Reggie Bullock and Stanley Johnson and Glenn Robinson III and Luke Kennard and all those guys who will make up the twos and threes and even a little bit of fours, maybe even a little bit of ones in the lineups for the Pistons. We'll be breaking down those guys a little bit before the season gets going on Wednesday night at home against the Brooklyn Nets at Little Caesars Arena. Hope you guys are excited for another NBA season. Get your predictions to me as well. Send them along. Get your eight West playoff teams in order, 1-8. The seeds and also the eight in the Eastern Conference as well. Send them along to me, along with your conference finals predictions. What team over what team in the East? What team over what team in the West? Give me your series length prediction on those two as well. And then the NBA finals prediction. Who's going to win over who and in how many games? Send those along to me over the email. Again, oldest man in the world. Once again, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com is the email address. I will hold on to those guesses that you have, predictions that you have, and we'll talk about them maybe a couple times throughout the season, and we'll figure out by the end of the year who has won that contest, and we'll find a prize for you guys as well. Give us a follow on the Twitter account at @Matt_Shook, S-E-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed. Give us a like on the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. And that'll do it for the shows for the week. And you guys enjoy the weekend. This is your host, Matt Shook, reminding you to spread the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. And have a great weekend, everyone.